In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the rock upon whom the church is built, as we're going to sing in a little while, and the cornerstone of our faith and of our eternal lives. Amen. Well, I'm sitting today again because once again, I was not wrapped in bubble wrap, and I sort of fell a week or so ago and hurt my ankle. So if you'll indulge me in this, I'd appreciate it. Although I'm finding it quite comfortable to preach this way, I think I will do this in the future. Might I recommend this, Pastor Ron, for you? Okay. So a few weeks ago, Pastor Ron called me and asked if I would preach on Memorial Day. And of course, I love being here with all of you. And I said, yes. And then this past week, he contacted me and he said, would you be willing to preach on the 4th of July? And I said, well, yeah. And then I started thinking as I arrived here this morning, I'll bet you I'm going to get a call to preach on Memorial Day. And you can then call me Pastor America, okay? Pastor Rod, have a well-deserved rest in the pew with your wife, okay? I told him I'd wear my American flag stoles, but I didn't do that today. At any rate, to be very serious, this is a serious topic which we have today. And I'd like to begin by asking a pretty simple question. Do you believe in peace? And of course, your answer is going to be what? Yeah, we all believe in peace. We would love world peace. We would love this world not to see another war. But if I ask you just a little bit of a different question, and I would say, do you think that peace is possible and all war can be abolished? I bet every single one of us here would say, no, it's not going to happen. War is a terrible thing. Nobody wants war because war involves death and casualties. Between the year 1500 BC and 1860, the beginning of the Civil War, it is estimated that there were 8,000 peace treaties signed during that approximately 3,300 years. The average length of those treaties being honored was 2 years. So war just wouldn't give up. Anwar Sadat, who is the former prime minister of Egypt, once said that there are two experiences in life that are so traumatic, so large in their scope, so overwhelming in life that you never can get over them. And those two things were prison and war. Some people have experienced both, like Senator McCain in our own state here, who was a prisoner of war for those years and has served his country over those years, over all the years that he has really been alive since he has entered the military. Memorial Day becomes for us a time of reflection. In fact, the word memorial comes from the Latin word that means memory. And so we bring to our memories the war dead who have fallen during the course of all of the wars in our history. It really, this Memorial Day has its roots in the Civil War. A federal general once asked the children of his time in 1868, May 30th, 1868, to bring flowers to decorate the war dead graves. And that was the first time that had ever happened. And then the proclamation was made in 1971 that Memorial Day would become an official holiday. But before that, if you were like me growing up, we called it Decoration Day. Do you remember those days? Decoration Day. And it really meant to go and decorate the graves of the fallen. And I remember our family, that was a tradition to go to the cemeteries on Memorial Day, not only to decorate the graves of soldiers, but also the graves of the fallen in our own family, those who had passed on. And I also remember in those days that it was, we went to parades and we heard speeches and all those kinds of things. Sadly, today, things I think are a little bit different. Oh, we talk about Memorial Day a lot. We really do. In fact, you can watch the television all weekend and you're going to see Memorial Day commercials everywhere. You're going to see red, white, and blue splashed all over the place. But what they really want you to do is to buy a couch. It's become a day of sales and shopping, a day of hot dogs and hamburgers and potato salad. And that's all good, that's all right. But have we forgotten the reason that we remember? And sometimes I think that's a no-brainer. Yes, we have. And maybe, brothers and sisters, there's no more important time in our country than right now to remember. This country is deeply divided. If you didn't know that, you're living under one of these standing stones, okay? And perhaps now is the time that this nation, whatever your tribe happens to be, gather together and remember what our freedoms are and why we have them and why people died for those freedoms rather than us going off in our corners and waiting for the bell to ring to come out and fight again. Today is a time of reflection, and it is celebrated the last Monday in May, probably because if you lived in the Midwest, you noticed that the tulips and everything were coming up in May, right? And so you would get the flowers and you would decorate the graves at that time. Out here, the cactus are hard to pick, but you know, anyhow. Throughout history, people have remembered in different ways, and one of the ways that ancient people remembered was through standing stones. And if we can take a look at that picture that was on your bulletin cover, there are many places around the world that there are these standing stones. There's Karnak, there are the Easter Islands, and Stonehenge, and there are many others. And we don't even know what the reason for all of these things were, but in some way or another, they were used to remember. We have some standing stones in our own culture. And one of the most moving places that I have ever been has been Arlington National Cemetery. How many of you have been to Arlington National Cemetery? Then you know what I'm talking about, because when you go there, there is a reverence that just is there. You can't help but be reverent. Someone mentioned to me today, I have never been there, but they mentioned to me leaving that the cemetery at Normandy is another one of those places. How many of you have been to Gettysburg? That's another battlefield where there are monuments, and you walk there, or the Arizona and Hawaii, if you've been there. You walk into these monuments, these standing stones, if you will, and where there is a reverence. And these are the standing stones that we honor over this weekend, those who have died, who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And the magnitude of that sacrifice is seen in these standing stones. But we also have a spiritual heritage of standing stones. When Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, he said to his people, and Moses wrote down all of the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar, which in a way is a standing stone, if you will, at the foot of the mountain. And then he told them to get 12 rocks, 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So those standing stones were there to remember that moment when Moses came down from the mountain with those two tablets of stone. After Israel had completed her pilgrimage of 40 years, she crossed the Jordan River. And after she crossed the Jordan River, these are the words written by Joshua, When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Because they also were asked to erect standing stones there. You shall tell them, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So you see, memorial days have been celebrated many, many years with standing stones. There's another standing stone that you and I can't avoid, nor should we avoid. It is the stone that was rolled away from the tomb of Jesus. It stood at the side of the tomb. When the women came early in the morning, the stone had been rolled away. And that standing stone signifies something very important for you and for me and for all people. For you see, there was a war that had been going on, and 3 days before, there was a cosmic battle waged around a man hanging on the cross whose name was Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man. And there was darkness over the land. And after the battle was over, when Jesus had defeated sin, death, and the devil, he shouted, not in defeat, but in victory, "It is finished. Devil, you are done. Sin, it is over with. Death, you cannot hold me anymore." And the temple curtain was ripped in two, signifying that through the victory of Jesus Christ, through the shedding of his blood on Calvary, we have access to God. It was through Jesus Christ alone. Have you ever been to a Jewish funeral? Anybody here? A few of you have. One of the traditions in a Jewish funeral is to take stones or rocks and place them on the memorial. If you ever go to a Jewish funeral, you'll see it. A lot of reasons that the rabbis say, I am told by someone who knows that there are probably as many opinions about this as there are rabbis of why this happens. But one of the best reasons is that it is to remember that person. And it was a mitzvah. A mitzvah can be a command, and this doesn't seem to be a command that you have to do it, but a good deed. A mitzvah can be a good deed also. That these people will walk by, and just to recognize a person, they would replace the stone or they would put the stone there. And that also was a standing stone. But there is no hope with the open tomb of Jesus Christ. We have a hope in that standing stone because the grave could not hold Jesus Christ. But there are more images of standing stones that you and I need to visit this morning as we think of Memorial Day. We too are standing stones. In the reading from Peter today, we hear, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." And right before this, Peter reminds us that we are living stones built into a spiritual house. And the foundation and the cornerstone of that spiritual house is none other than the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot be held in the grave. You and I are standing stones. And because we know the truth of God's word, and because our faith is grounded on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, people will be offended at us. And other believers will recognize us. But we are standing stones. There are two kingdoms in which you and I live. We live in the kingdom of the left. which is our the earth and the nations in which we live. For us, it is the United States of America. And as citizens of the United States of America, we memorialize or we remember those who died to keep us free and to make us free. And that's why we're talking about Memorial Day. That's why we're celebrating Memorial Day. But we also live in another kingdom. It is the kingdom of the right, the kingdom of God. And there was another war hero, another champion, another battle that was fought for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And because of his suffering, his death on the cross, we have eternal life. And so we also remember, along with those who's died for the freedom of our country, we remember today on this Sunday the one who died for all people, the one who suffered and died for us, the one who took our sin to the grave, who defeated hell, who defeated Satan, and who rose victorious from the grave, as evidenced by that standing stone off to the side. On Memorial Day, we go to the grave sites to put our flowers out and to pay our respects. Jesus also went to a grave site one time. You remember this. It was a grave site of his friend Lazarus. And as he came to that gravesite, he did not come to remember him or to memorialize him. He came to resurrect him. And as he came down the road, Mary saw him and she said, "Jesus, where were you? If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus says to her in these words, "I didn't come here to remember him, I came here to resurrect him." And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And you know what that means? It means that just like Jesus' grave, my grave, your grave, is going to have a standing stone, but there's not going to be anyone in that grave. For all of those people lying underneath those graves with those standing stones in Arlington and other cemeteries, they will be resurrected. And all who believe in Christ will be with the Lord. That is good news for us. Jesus comes to resurrect us from the grave, even as he rose from the grave. I want to go back to the very first question that I asked at the beginning of this message. And that was, do you believe that there can be peace on earth? And of course, our answer was no. But I'm here to tell you that there can be a peace on earth. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You see, you and I, as living stones, as standing stones, are also bringers of peace, are we not? That's our role. Even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of war, Jesus is our peace. He came into the room with the disciples, and remember what he said to them as they were fearing and hiding? "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." My brothers and sisters, remember all of these standing stones that we've talked about today. Go to the cemeteries and remember the standing stones of those who died to keep our country free. But remember the standing stone and the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, upon whom you have built your life. You are standing stones of Jesus. You are standing stones of peace. Let us not forget that role, even as we remember the fallen this week. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now let us continue with our offering and remember all of those standing stones that we talked about as we sing about being built on the solid rock of Christ our Lord.